One of the things that we are more aware of now than ever before, because I guess of growing sophistication and growing awareness, is that things are really never black or white, but they exist, as we now say, on a spectrum. That there really is an infinite line, if you would, that embraces all of the human experience. And things are not separate from each other, but they are all of a piece, all of one. And they exist on a spectrum. We can experience life and we can look at it and at one end think it's rather banal, and at the other end we can think that it's rather miraculous, and you know what my preference is. We can look at life and think that it is a veil of tears, or that it is a gift. An informed mind and heart and awareness knows that what we give our attention to is what we will create and experience in our lives, so it is better if we call things a gift. It is really better if we call things wonderful, because that's what we're teeing up to experience in life. Reverend Frank gave his treatment this morning, and he talked about walking our thoughts. And if we walk the thought, if we see life as a trail of tears, then we will have plenty to cry about. If you save for a rainy day, I can guarantee you that it will rain. And if you think that life is fairly joyful, or it's a yellow brick road that will get you someplace where you really want to go, then indeed that will be your experience as well. I watched a movie that I did not see when it came out about a year ago called The Best Exotic Marigold Hotel. Did we see that? I had no idea that it was really more than a cute movie, and I watched it last night, and I really thought it was one of the most sophisticated demonstrations of mature spirituality that I've ever seen in a motion picture. And it was fantastic. And at one point, a complaining person asks one of the characters, why do you like living here in India? It's so repulsive. And among the things that he appreciated was he said that he felt the people in India looked at life as it were a privilege. And that was something that he appreciated about it. And that really got my attention. You know, I know that many of us have had good things happen to us, and many of us have had privileges in life, and many of us have squandered those privileges. Those are generally mistakes of a misspent youth. Not everybody gets to go to college, and yet some of us, when we get to college, manage to sleep the entire first year through class. Not that that was my experience, but maybe one or two of my roommates did. I'm only saying, we all are living in a world of great privilege, so much so that we forget what a privilege it is and how blessed we really are, and that it is not something to squander, that it is really something to take advantage of and to use well and wisely. Life itself really is an inheritance of good. What we want to do in this particular work here is to always be reminding each other and ourselves of that truth. There are small facts of life that come to meet us on our path, but the truth is it's a privilege. And the truth is that it's neither hard nor easy, but it simply is. And everything that is in our environment is ours to use or steward quite skillfully. And if you walk a path of wonder, you will experience wonder. That's the promise of living, and it will be fulfilled for everyone. Over time, it will be. That may not meet my immediate need that I might have this particular morning. I get that. But over time, one will realize what a gift this truly is. At the center, we place ourselves in a continuous flow of positivity to support our desire to create a world that heals and prospers and blesses. It's a choice. And at some point, all y'all made that choice, that was the kind of world that you wanted to live in. And that means that we get to continually make choices for positivity all the time. The great art of living well in the world is not living in denial, but knowing really what is important for us and what is really ours to do in this world, and remain balanced, understanding that there are challenges all along the way, but to not lose sight of the promise as we take on the challenges. This is the great gift that some people in our lives in this lifetime that we know about, because we've seen them continually make this choice. Because it's August, I am particularly aware that this is the 50th anniversary of the March on Washington for Jobs and Freedom. That was the whole name of Dr. King's endeavor. And here was somebody who continued to take on immediate challenges, but he wasn't merely against anything. He was so for something, he was willing to take on particular challenges as you keep walking in that direction in terms of what you are for. It's too easy to simply be against things, and that doesn't accomplish anything in life except burnout. And that's a serious thing. That exists on a spectrum, though, as well, doesn't it? You know, maybe somebody's got to do it. And God bless them in this lifetime for taking on that task. And then there are other people who aren't involved actively in the world at all, but are renunciates, you know, monks and nuns and people like that who I totally respect. And that's another choice. You know, these are all on a spectrum, but most of us live somewhere in the middle. And the great spiritual teachers of every culture and every time have tried to give us information and techniques about how do I stay in the world but not be of it. Well, that's what the spiritual path really is, living to learn skillfully and knowing that nothing is against us, doing away with superstition of every possible kind and seeing things exactly as they are, which is beautiful and whole and abundant. That is the world we live on in this dimension. In my random Netflix viewing, I also watched Robinson Crusoe on Mars, which, does anybody remember that movie? I thought that was the coolest thing in the world when I saw it, and I was shocked at how much I remembered. Well, Robinson Crusoe was not living on Earth, he was living on Mars, and so the rules don't apply. But we're here. Today we're here, and we're on this wonderful planet that we call Earth. So here's the deal. How do we not squander the great privilege that we have of being here? And what is this kind of spiritual work that we talk about? It's about being aware of understanding that we are beings of consciousness and being aware of what we're thinking. And as Dr. Walker used to say, what am I thinking and do I want to experience the results of what I'm thinking? If it's not a positive life-enhancing thing, forget about it. Move on. Get rid of it like bad tuna fish. If the idea doesn't support you, get rid of it. Move on to something else. If we do not, we find, as the author of this great book, Three Simple Steps, which we are doing commentary on this summer, is that we will get stuck in the quicksand of race mind. And the first task is, frankly, to wake up and understand that most of humanity does live in a trance, and that we are stuck in this quicksand of race mind, and that we do what everybody does. We believe what we're told to believe. We rarely take the brave choice and really determine what is right for me, which is a spiritual imperative to understand who are you and what is an expression of your wholeness, and how will you go about giving that, expressing that to the world. Well, that's why you're here, to give that gift to the world. The first thing we have to do is get out of the quicksand by protecting our mental environment, by becoming aware of what we're thinking, limiting our exposure as we can, as best we can, to negativity, which is, you know, pervasive, and that's okay. It's the way it is, but most things don't get any of us individually where we want to go. Television can be a gift. You know, I was in the industry myself for a long time, but most of it does not promote health and wholeness and your wholeness. And so limiting our exposure to a great number of things. Protect your mental environment. Make a commitment to change and assume responsibility for it. I was guest on a radio show on Friday, which airs in New York. A minister friend of mine had me on, and we were talking about things on this radio show, and I used the word responsibility, and he said, "Oh, I don't like that word, because that sounds harsh and negative." And I said, "You know, so be it, that's fine. But I really don't know of another more meaningful word. Yet, you know, your life is your responsibility. It's not anybody else's. It means that you are able to respond to the events in your life. And you are able to respond to all opportunities and challenges and to fashion them so that it would be something meaningful and supportive for you. When we say responsibility and assuming responsibility, if you feel that it has a negative connotation for you, then you really are not looking at life as it is, which is a privilege. But you're thinking of responsibility that it's almost like a fine that you have to pay for being on planet Earth. It's not a fine. It's maximizing your opportunities, optimizing your opportunities to be here on planet Earth. So how do you do this? Once we get out of the quicksand of the collective consciousness and unconsciousness, and we begin to make a commitment to change, which even though I thought that I made that 25 years ago, I find that every day is a new opportunity for me to renew that commitment to change in some part of my life, and thus it will always be when I'm on this planet. I feel that that's probably true, and I'm okay with that. In this wonderful book, Three Simple Steps, Trevor Blake, the author, says, and these are the two ideas that I want to leave you with today, comment on today, is that change can be imperceptible. Change can be very, very subtle. We're not usually talking about radical, revolutionary things in our lives. But it's usually about fine-tuning. Many years ago when I was new in this practice, I remember I was between pictures, as we say, and I was treating for my right and perfect next job, as we say. And I've probably said this before, but my partner, bless his heart, said, "I know the right and perfect thing sounds great, but your butt needs a job." And he was right. And from there, it is a matter of fine-tuning. It's a really important thing. It's a very important distinction. So many of us excuse ourselves or exclude ourselves from the basic flow of work, which none of us can afford to do. Work being good personal expression for each and every one of us. If you want work, get in the flow of work itself, and from there, fine-tune your choices. But hanging out for a month, 6 months, a year, 12 years, really doesn't get you what you want, doesn't get any of us what I want. It's get involved right away in something, and then day by day, refine your choices. Trevor Blake writes, "In my life, achievement has often come the way of the winding staircase," meaning it's hard to see what's next. It's all too easy to become discouraged when we can't see the goal, the future, and therefore believe we are heading in the right direction. You have to trust in the way of the winding staircase, because when it comes to success, seeing is not believing, but believing leads to seeing. Faith and belief are words that I don't particularly like. I prefer the words choice. And I do believe that this is a real wisdom teaching here, is that wherever any of us are, in any endeavor of our lives, work, health, relationships, self-expression other than work, finances, wherever we are, we have to be able to choose an idea of something better than what's not working for us right now. It's not believing that something could be better. Of course it could be better. It's choosing to be on the side of that fact. Make the choice and use the unique power of imagination. Image, a nation of images. See something. What is it that you are seeking in life? And walk towards that, be it on a yellow brick road or a winding staircase. You're not always going to know what's around the bend, but go in that direction. And what we all know from our personal experiences is when we do that, and not until we do that, will we meet with unexpected assistance, which in The Wizard of Oz shows up as Glinda or any of her allies on the way. But in real life, it shows up as mentors, it shows up as ideas, it shows up as opportunities that are ours to take or not. But we have to move first and remain capable of believing, capable of sustaining the choice. Thomas Merton was a Trappist monk who lived in Kentucky, and the monastery where he lived was very close to a place called Pleasant Hill in Kentucky, which was at one of the largest Shaker communities in America in the 19th century. And when I say Shaker furniture or Shaker style, do you know what I mean by that? A very elegant, very simple kind of folk art. And Thomas Merton's observation was that he said, the thing that gives a Shaker chair its particular grace was that it was made by someone capable of believing an angel would come to sit on it. How about them apples, huh? Because they understood, and they understood that there was only one life. And this life is an expression of the God mind, the divine intelligence. And even if, or especially if it is mere handcraft, like a chair or a table or a piece of cloth, it is still a full revelation of God mind. That's the kind of choice making that we really want to be infused with. To know that no matter what the activity is in front of us, that it is an expression of perfect life. And that we, if we go in that direction, you will get help for things that you cannot do yourself. That's a guarantee. The other thing that Mr. Blake says about change is that change can be scary. Well, you know, I want to poke a hole in that one, as much as I love this book. Change is, you know, being chased by Tyrannosaurus Rex is scary. You know, is life really scary? We want to say, yes, life is really scary, and I get it, and I want to meet you there. Life isn't scary. If you're sitting here today, in this theater on glamorous Sunset Boulevard, your life isn't scary. Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. What's the problem with that? But I might lose my house. What, are you going to live in a cardboard box? What do you mean you're going to lose your house? It's not that bad. Whatever it is that could possibly be going on for any of us in this privileged environment that we live in, it is not bad and it is not scary. As they said in the exotic Marigold Hotel, at the end, Judi Dench is giving her observation of life. Am I cutting out? Is that what's happening? Am I cutting? You want to put me on here? And then turn this off just so we don't get any reverb? Okay. What Judi Dench says in this movie is that, you know, what is life really? It's a day-by-day opportunity. You do your best. And in the morning, the next morning, you start again. In terms of doing your best, what does that mean? Handle life with as much grace as you possibly can until the meaning is revealed in any situation. This is part of the perennial philosophy. This has been stated by every great teacher. And it seems too simple, but it is not simplistic because, friends, whether it's the title of this book or not, life is really simple. It unfolds according to law, and it can be directed by love if that is your choice. It's simple. It is not easy. It's a grown-up, mature privilege to be able to fashion your own life experience according to your soul needs. When you don't know what to do, seek advice. It's everywhere. It was fairly amazing to me that the Washington Post was sold this week, and that got everybody by surprise, an international brand like that. And yet, the owner of the newspaper, Donald Graham, said, you know, and this was published, he said, I got to the place where I didn't know what to do anymore. I didn't know what to do anymore. Great. So let somebody else have a chance. No harm, no foul, right? If you don't know what to do anymore, here's the one thing that I can guarantee you, is that there is something in you that does know what to do. There is something in you, and it's part of your own consciousness. It knows what to do in every situation. It knows how to create good out of any challenge. It knows how to heal and prosper and bless you and everyone you know. If it's a matter of business, pay for advice. That's easy. But when it comes to your own life, know that change is always possible. It happens in such small steps sometimes we forget how much we are changing, but in fact we are. And keep that commitment to positive forward motion. Don't give up on that. Ever. We gather here on Sundays to continually encourage each other. By your very presence, you are encouraging everybody in this room to a greater expression of life, whether you shake their hand or not. It seems magical, but believe me, I know that that is what happens when we gather together. So keep commitment to your own life. And remember, indeed, that life is a choice. That you always experience life on this great spectrum. And if you call it awful, so it shall be. And if you call it a blessing, you will be blessed. That's all I know for today. God bless you, friends.